Hi, I'm Linda von Tolberg for Biz News. Well, Orbvest presents an interesting investment opportunity for South Africans to directly invest in medical real estate in the United States. Well, joining us today is Justin Clark, Director of Operations at Orbvest, to discuss their approach and the potential impact of a new U.S. president on commercial real estate. Well, hi, Justin. Welcome to Biz News.
Linda, super to be here. And I think first time that we've had a chat. Really nice to be online.
Well, let's start with the significant news of the week. Of course, you know that will impact the U.S. real estate, and that's the election of Donald Trump again as president of the United States. So what are your thoughts on this development?
Linda, I know you've been covering it a lot, and there is so much news out there. I don't think I'm going to add anything with regard to the new administration, apart from the fact that I think there is a general consensus amongst our network that it's going to certainly accelerate the U.S. economy, and it's going to be very good for the U.S. economy. So I think let's rather have a little look at how that will impact commercial real estate. And I think fundamentally commercial real estate loves a good economy. Bear in mind, you've got companies that are very confident and expanding. You've got a lot of reinvestment, and people are very happy to sign long leases. I must say, we noticed in the period post-COVID, with all the uncertainties, no one was signing a lease, even if they needed it or not. So it certainly was very interesting to see that. As soon as confidence comes back into the economy, everybody is very happy to dive in. Of the subsectors, we all know what Donald's view is on manufacturing, and I think there's no doubt about it, the tariffs are going to come, and that's going to cause a rush for industrial space. We feel very very confident about the industrial space, even though we are not in that space, we are in healthcare, but certainly we think that that's going to accelerate very, very fast. My pet hate, and certainly one of the things that I've been very surprised at in the US, Linda, is regulation. It honestly takes us months to get a construction permit for a very simple remodeling of a space. And, a delay of 3-4 months just to get yourself constructed and into a space costs a lot of money in one of these buildings. So we are certainly hopeful that the new administration is going to do something about these layers and layers of regulations that have built up over decades. And certainly that is one of the core messages that's coming out of the administration. So we're certainly looking after that. And, I think I must just give you a little bit of insight. We have two buildings that are leased by the U.S. government, and they are our worst tenant. It has taken us, since we acquired the buildings, these two buildings, they've been in the building, but they've only been on a year-to-year lease. So you literally start negotiating the new lease when the new lease kicks in. And we've been trying to extend that lease for years. And if I can, you would think I'm exaggerating if I was trying to give you an idea of the layers and layers of negotiations which we ended up having in order to get this lease extended to a 5-year lease. But now that we've got the lease signed, I mean, they can't even pay the lease on time. I mean, it is just remarkable the difference between how inept government is, even in the U.S., compared with what we experience in South Africa. So I think that's some interesting news. Listen, there's always got to be a negative. So let me talk a little bit about that. Interest rates are our worst enemy in the commercial real estate space. In order to lever up your return, you always will have some form of debt, normally senior debt from a bank, and that means you're paying the going interest rate. If interest rates crank up, what happens is the value of the building effectively goes down. So it's an inverse effect you want. And when interest rates come down, then cap rates go down, the value of the building goes up. So high interest rates are certainly not in our favor. And they've hurt us a lot. Remember that over the last 3 years, we had, 11 interest rate increases. And then they stuck there for a good part of a year plus. So certainly quite hurtful. And one of the byproducts of the administration creating excess commercial activity in the U.S. would be that inflation will ramp. And I think in some of your interviews, certainly that's come out from some of your other interviewees. So we are going to watch inflation. I think that there is a way to mitigate inflation. And once again, if the administration is wide awake enough and they cut back on government spending as the economy accelerates, so let's hope that they do that. And of course, encourages innovation. And innovation means that we won't suffer from a shortfall of labor, which there will be in the U.S., and certainly you know, automations and increasing inefficiencies has got to be part of the solution. So sorry for that long explanation, but we, you know, we've been certainly very focused on it over the last month or so.
Can I just circle back to what you said about regulations? And this is where he wants to bring Elon Musk in. So do you think the South African, well, I'm not sure even he regarding himself as that anymore. Do you think the South African can turbocharge this whole thing of regulation that is weighing down the economy, bugging people like you?
I must say, I do have a bias. I'm fascinated by what Elon has achieved. And I certainly hope that he is able to have some influence and at least push for government to deregulate. And we've seen it in the commercial real estate space. It's just absurd how much regulation there is in the US.
Okay, well, can we just go a little bit? You talked about some of the issues you've had with, you know, people not paying, you know, even like the government in the US being a problem tenant. Can we just look at sort of after experiencing a prolonged period of high interest, have you encountered any buildings that did not perform as expected?
Yeah, Linda, you know, I think there are two things that perhaps I would like to talk about. The first thing is this Black Swan event that impacted and decimated the commercial real estate space in America. I like to use the analogy of the roller coaster in the U.S. If you ride a roller coaster at, Seven Flags, you know, it goes up, you know, 100 meters and it comes down equally fast. And then if you ride the same thing in South Africa, it goes up 30 meters and comes down much less fast. And that's how real estate compares, certainly commercial real estate compares there versus here. The Black Swan event, first of all, COVID, office tenants, the small office tenants just walked away from their spaces. Many of the big office tenants, some of them that rented, you know, 15,000-16,000 square foot, have not moved back into the office. The staff all at home. And obviously, when it comes up to renewals, the office space got decimated. At the same time, you had inflation, which increases your cost of operating. And then the third thing was that interest rates, as I say, climbed 11 times. And that increases your obviously interest rates, cost of debt is your biggest individual expense. So yeah, it's been incredibly tough, and we've certainly learned some very tough lessons. And particularly there were at buildings, about 13 buildings that we inherited from the where we formed in 2018 that have been probably our worst. And we are, however, pleased to say that you know, the wind is starting to blow behind us, and we've been working pretty hard to get these properties back to perform again. And certainly we've had some very big wins. In fact, last week, perhaps this is quite interesting, we managed to acquire one of these buildings, which was in fact in San Antonio. And to give you an idea, it's called High Point Towers, and they are two 300,000 square foot, which is 30,000 square meters roughly, towers, 11 story towers. And the value of those buildings was in the region of $80 million. And we just acquired them for $13 million now in order to restructure them and reinvent them and obviously bring value back to those buildings. So you can imagine that over a process of probably 18 months, we've been fighting and working with the bank actually to try and get these buildings back. And that's the discount that we've got to work with in order to bring back value for those investors and ourselves that are, you know, deeply involved in that particular building. So overall, yes, there are a number of buildings that have been impacted. Can't say that the legacy buildings have done particularly well.
But we're working super hard to fix it and to make sure that we're able to give returns to the investors that are in those buildings. So, I think that's really the basis of those, you know, of those legacy buildings and what we are dealing with at the moment.
So what progress are you making now in growing the fund, and how's it performing? And when you tell us this, tell us a bit more about your product and exactly what it is.
I think, obviously there were some very good lessons. And I think there's two types of investors. And certainly in the early days, the investors were fairly high net worth that are prepared to take on a bit of risk and wanted to chase big returns and preferred investing in a single building like you would, for example, in South Africa. And I think that what we have realized is that there is quite a lot of risk if you're in a single building because you have no diversification at all. And so what we have done very successfully is we've taken our best buildings and we've consolidated them all together into one commercial entity. And all of those investors that are in there, which is about 1,600 investors in that particular grouping. But these are our best buildings. So far, we're on 24 buildings that we've brought in there over the course of the year. And I must say, I'm quite excited about what we're achieving so far there. We have managed to, first of all, let me explain the other learning, and that is that the traditional way that REITs operate their buildings is that they outsource a lot of the property management. That's the day-to-day stuff that tenants deal with. And we realized that we wanted to create a full service, which means we wanted to have direct contact with the tenants in our buildings. Our tenants are our most important customers. And that has been a major change. So we now have a relationship with tenants directly. So we do the property management. We are the general partner. And of course, we're the asset manager. So it means that we have control. Another big learning. As I say, we put these things together. And as a result of being directly involved with these buildings, we have managed to get our occupancy up to 95%. To give you some stats, which I think are super interesting, we distribute annually around about 100 million rand to South African investors. That's about $1.5 million a quarter. We have over 100 tenants. A lot of them are credit tenants in that portfolio as it stands at the moment. And I guess the question is always, you know, how does it work? And the thing is that what we are doing is we are trying to build this portfolio's value as quickly as we can over the period of 5 years, which is now 4 years because we've already been going a year with the portfolio. At that point, we will then offer it to the market, and we believe the timing should be fantastic because obviously in the next 3 to 4 years, we think that rates will drop off and the economy will accelerate, which means there'll be a great appetite and a lot of capital around that would like to acquire a healthcare portfolio of probably $400-500 million. So that's our outcome. And that's the only way that we make money is obviously if we are able to grow the value. So so investors come along for the ride basically and share in that profit. And then of course the other super interesting thing is that our sort of cash on cash, in other words, the dividend that we pay out is between 5% and 8%, I think in our offering memorandum, but we've managed to maintain that over or 7% consistently since we put these properties together. So there's a 7% cash on cash, and obviously we're looking at a nice double digit sort of IRR over the 4 to 5 years of the investment. So yeah, and we're super excited by that. Certainly that's the great part of the business, and gets us to wake up in the morning.
Okay, well, let's look at some comparisons to South Africa. So property REITs and funds in South Africa have undergone this phase of trading significantly below their asset value. So how does your product, Accretive Med, offering differentiate itself from these challenges?
Linda, I think that's a fantastic point. REITs haven't necessarily been decimated. The asset value hasn't been decimated. It's the share price that's been decimated. And, the building's exactly the same. The tenants may be exactly the same, but the market's not prepared to pay fair value. And I think that is the difference. Our whole offering is a 5-year lock-in. and we are building the portfolio to exit in 5 years. We don't encourage trading, although people obviously do buy and sell, but it's not a listed equity that moves up and down with the sentiment of the market. And I think that's the fundamental difference. I mean, the REITs were really killed after COVID. As you know, the South African REITs trading at, I think some of them, at less than half of asset value, which is just mad. And ultimately, they've recovered quite nicely. But, you know, I think our product is very different. It's you invest a dollar and your asset in the fund is worth a dollar until such time as the overall value of underlying properties appreciate over time.
Thank you, Justin. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I think the issue of healthcare is other thing that's quite interesting. We've talked a lot about office. You know, the one thing about the U.S. is it's an aging population, and over time, the amount of money spent on healthcare has increased above the growth in GDP for the last 100 years. It's quite incredible to look at those two graphs. So whatever government comes in, whatever administration takes over, no matter what the intent is, healthcare costs increase. And ultimately, that means that there are more tenants and more money flowing around in the healthcare space, more people looking for services. And that is why we are, you know, so focused on the healthcare space. It is very interesting. It's a small niche within the market, about 27,000 odd healthcare buildings in America, which is, believe it or not, small. And that's also another very important component of our offering.
Well, Justin Clark from Orbvest, thanks so much for speaking to us.